and he's inspiring thousands of devotees all over the world. He has especially put a lot of focus on sharing his inspiration of practicing Krishna consciousness and especially the chanting of the holy name. He has written books and he's also giving retreats. He has inspired devotees to organize kirtan melas. And so all over the world we see there's many kirtan melas, and Maharaj has been a big inspiration behind that development. Maharaj also recently developed a retreat center in India, Vrindavan, at Govardhan, the Golden Retreat Center, and he offers very immersive workshops and retreats for devotees. And today, Maharaj is coming down from Kirtal, which has had a one-week retreat, and Maharaj gave a wonderful seminar there. And today he will speak about the topic spiritual nutrition, feeding the mind, guarding the soul.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for taking the time. Hare Krishna.
Hare Bol. I thank you very much for giving me this platform to address all of you today. I want to express my emphatic feelings of compassion for those who come for the first time or the second time into this pressure cooker of spirituality. You know, we are all cramped together, and you can see those who sing and they and play drums and cymbals during the kirtan are really on fire. So I do know when I made my first way into the Krishna temple, I thought, my God, where have I landed? I guess where you have landed is in an exuberant, jubilant celebration of spirituality. So I do hope that today my lecture will give all of us a frame in which we can put these spiritual experiences plus, and that is perhaps most important for me, plus I wish to give you, of course, a few hints and practices and inspirations for your own spiritual practices. I have thought deeply about what I want to say, so I used to come regularly to Switzerland. I could speak Grüezi in such a way that no one would recognize my North German accent. I was able to even converse in Swiss German and almost understand everything, but I guess I was never accepted 100% as a Swiss person, so good. So what we are going to do is we will just chant a little bit a monosyllable mantra. One moment, I have to just put this here. Yes, that's good. We will chant the mantra Ram, just to ground ourselves a little bit. We have sung so much, there was so much sound, so we need to collect our thoughts and just anchor ourselves in the present moment. We need to calm down, and the mantra Ram is very good for that. So I will chant it one time, and then we will chant it for, let's see, 3 or 5 times. We will see how good you can come into it. Please, in mantra chanting, you need to put your attention to the sound vibration and let the sound vibration guide you. This is something new for those who practice spiritual life. In our tradition, many of us are practicing, but then unfortunately they come into a mechanic practice with little experience. So you please all sit up. I chant one time alone and then all of us together. Deep inhale. Guarding or protecting the soul. Oh, thank you. How kind of you. Thank you. Oh, real flowers, no? Wonderful. Once I gave a lecture, and I started my lecture, the subject tonight is love. And everyone was shocked. What? This is a spiritual person. I could say feeding the mind and guarding the soul is done by bhakti or devotional love, but let's call it feeding the mind and guarding the soul. To begin our reflections, I would like to draw your attention to the three gifts or divine gifts that are is within the reach of every one of us. The first gift, which is really a present, it is a given, is the human form of life. No one of us created these bodies. We came into the combination of our father and mother, and our bodies have grown like this. The second gift to a spiritually minded person is an inclination of calling into their hearts for spiritual progress. It's more than an interest, it's a leaning towards spiritual progress. And I believe most of us, except the two or four people who come out of sheer curiosity, they have this leaning or longing. And the third gift, and I'm speaking about spiritually minded person, is actually what the tradition calls a guru, a spiritual mentor, who gives an example and who gives us also guidance on our path. So check in your life if you have these three gifts, and how, this more important, how well are you using these gifts of your body, of that inclination or deep longing, passionate interest in your spiritual journey, and how well do you use your connection to these guru figures in your life? It could be any person who is inspiring you to move on. These three gifts are very, very good for a person who prepares his or her spiritual awakening. An awareness of the body, we could add the mind also here, an awareness of one's own longing, one's own the whispering voice of the soul, you could say, and finally a connection to guru figures. Doesn't have to be one, but people who inspire us deeply and from whom we are able to learn. If you have these three gifts, then I think the most important task for you is to nourish your mind, to keep your mental climate clean, so to say, so that you can move forward without any obstruction. In a world that is so prone or so full with distraction, that is so full of with negativity, I'm thinking of wars and political maneuvers that in some ways are known to us. It's important to keep a clean mind, a clean consciousness. I think nowadays many people are aware how important it is to keep environment clean, clean waters, clean air, strong forests, well-nourished forests. However, you can be in the cleanest environment, in the best air, and in the most nicely kept forests. If your mind is full of anxiety, stress, and the constant knocking of desires, you need this, you need that, this is not so good. The mental climate is so important that my friend, perhaps he's here, Martin Fleming, he lives now in Zurich. No, he may be in America at the moment. He's a traveler. He decided to make an experiment. The experiment is documented on YouTube. Some of you might know it. So Martin did the similar experiment, which you will find. He cooked a pot of rice and then spooned two bowls full of rice. One bowl he labeled "thank you," and the other bowl he labeled "full." He put these bowls into a refrigerator, and over a period of, I believe, 6 weeks, it could be longer or shorter, he took every day the two bowls out of the refrigerator. To the bowl with the label "thank you," he said, "Thank you so much. This is so nice that you have grown on a rice field. People have put water there and weeded the weeds, and you are nourishing my family. Thank you, thank you, thank you." After he had done this, it's only for 1 minute, he placed the bowl "thank you" back in the refrigerator, and then took the other bowl called "fool" out. He took it out, and he started to curse. You foolish rice, you bad rice, you're absolutely useless, I would say. I would be so glad if you would not be there in this bowl. And he said bad words, which I don't know what he said exactly, nor do we need to know. Some bad words. Einige krasse Beleidigungen, he would say in German. Now, after doing this for the amount of time, 6 weeks or so, he put these bowls back in the refrigerator and waited for a period of 3 months. I think you already can assume what was happening when he took the bowl, thank you, out. It was had a nice texture and could be used and so on. But when he took the bowl full out, where he had spoken all these heavy words, he saw a brown slush, slimy and absolutely poisonous. And the conclusion which he drew is that what you hear or what you tell yourself about yourself influences you in a much, much greater way than you hear. And if you allow unconsciously all this negative thoughts and negative words and negativity to enter your life, then you poison your life, you poison your mind. You don't nourish your mind, but you destroy your mind, no? So from this, I was aware of this since quite some time. He did it, I think 10 years ago or so, and he told me, and I said to him, yes, do you know the story of the ladies of tears? So Martin said, no, you are Mr. Storyteller. Tell us the story of the lady of tears. And I said, yes, there was once a lady who had 2 sons. One made papadums, that's a little like you know, a flat bread, which she dried. Now that son had a papadum shop. He made these little flat breads, he dried them in the sun, and then he sold them. And she had another son who sold umbrellas. So the lady of tears had a bad habit of killing her mind or destroying her mind. Whenever it was it rained, then she lamented, oh, my son who makes papadums, which dry in the sun, cannot make business today. And whenever it was sunshine, she lamented and said, oh, my son who sells umbrellas cannot make business today. And in her village, she was known as the Lady of Tears, who always cried, because either it's sunshine, then she cried for her umbrella son, and or it was rain, then she cried for her papadum son. Until one day she met a sadhu. This sadhu, a saint, said to the Lady of Tears, Lady of Tears, be the Lady of Joy. How? Said the Lady of Tears. Well, it's like this. Whenever it is sunshine, you celebrate for your papadum son who makes these flat breads. You're joyful. And whenever it's raining, you are happy for your umbrella selling son. In this way, you will be the Lady of Smiles. I think as simple as the story is, it does have a very important teaching to all of us. Avoid negativity, like in the rice experiment. It poisons you, it kills you. Avoid criticism, enviousness of others, taking in the all the heavy news, you know, the newest statement of Mr. Super Intelligent President of America, and so on. And, you know, avoid this because it creates the wrong mental climate. You will only have panic attacks after some time if you allow too many negative informations to come unfiltered into your awareness. And I guess the whole idea of spiritual culture and of guarding our soul is to consciously, deliberately, in German absichtlich, with full intention, to practice those things that will inspire you. Especially on your spiritual journey, you need the three nourishing power foods for your mind. One is enthusiasm for your spiritual practices. Not like many of the Hare Krishna people do. They do it out of duty and so on. It should be carried with enthusiasm, your spiritual practices. The second power food for the mind is to strengthen your conviction, your self-conviction, your saying it is possible. And the third is perseverance. These three qualities, enthusiasm, conviction, and perseverance, play out in an amazing individual's spiritual journey, which I want to talk about today. It's it's a hero's journey who overcame his attachments, his problems by creating enthusiasm, conviction, and perseverance in himself. So before we I talk about Gop Kumar, I want to just say a verse which describes to us what the spiritual reality could be. Many of you have heard this verse. It goes, Om Purnam Adaha Purnamidam. The Supreme Reality is Purna, it is full. For me, this means it is full of endless possibilities, endless opportunity. When you come to the spiritual reality or spiritual life, you should know you are coming close to Purnam, something that is so full and is vibrant with spiritual opportunities and possibilities. It's never stale, it's never boxed in, and it is always surprising in its fullness. What this fullness means is a little bit, and this should be interesting for you, of three distinct ways in which you can perceive the absolute truth. There's this other verse. Don't worry, I'm not just boring you with Sanskrit texts, but a little in the beginning, no? Vadanti tat vavidas. It says, those who know the truth, the nature of which is pure knowledge without a second, call this eternal truth Brahman Paramatma Bhagavan. This is how it is called. So Brahman means the unlimited light and energy Paramatma means the wise guy's guide inside the heart, and Bhagavan means the playful Lord of love. So Gop Kumar was a young cowherd boy who one day, as he was herding the cows, saw a saint sitting on the banks of a river, steeped in deep meditation. And he respectfully sat next to the saint and waited until he would come out of his meditational state. And when the saint opened his eyes, he saw the little cowherd boy sitting there innocently next to him. The saint had seen this boy and had seen that he had the inclination for deep spiritual life, and he is the guru figure who entered into the life and of Gop Kumar and told him, today is your good day. What is today happening? Said Gop Kumar. Today I will give you a sacred mantra, and through this mantra you will receive your sacred initiation on the spiritual path. Gop Kumar said, wonderful, because he comes from a spiritual climate, where initiation and mantra is known. For us, during an initiation, a sacred mantra is given to the disciple with some ideas or instructions how to practice the mantra, how to chant it, so that it can manifest its full strength. We have in our movement also initiations, but I always think that it's necessary for those who take the spiritual initiation to not do it out of a social reason, that I want to be part of this group, but more of I want to learn the process that brings me face to face with the Supreme. So he met the saint, and he told him the mantra. Psh, 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 I can't tell you the mantra he got, it's secret. And then something extraordinary happened. And I have not seen this in modern times, but after the spiritual master, the guru had finished saying the mantra, he was so overcome with spiritual delight that he fainted, and he could not give the explanation. When he finally got up, Gop Kumar had waited respectfully, he just seemed to be so overwhelmed, he didn't see his new disciple anywhere. And he just went singing and dancing into the forest, and with this he disappears out of Gop Kumar's vision. So Gop Kumar begins to chant this mantra. This reminds me of many of the people I have met. They do have some mantra, but they may not have the detailed instructions how to do it, or they may forget it, or they may be simply not interested enough to go into the detail. So there is a verse about this type of getting to know a mantra, which you will find greatly relieving. It comes surprisingly from the oldest document of the Vedas, the Rig Veda. Would you like to hear the language of this? Yeah?
Yes.
Let me get my machine here. It's a little bit too deep, I think. Mm-hmm. Om Asya Janato Nama Chit Viviktanas Mahaste Vishnu Sumatim Bajamahe. You can repeat this last three words. Om Tat Sat. So it addresses the Supreme. O Supreme One, we do not know you. But how wonderful it is, by constantly singing your names, that you gracefully reveal yourself within our hearts. Wow! So here we get to know something about these mantras. They have, listen to this word, it may be the first time you hear this in English, a self-revelatory power. Also die offenbaren sich selber im Herzen. You chant them, you don't know them, but because they are words of power, they are imbued with some sacred energy, they gracefully and gradually begin to reveal yourself. So it's possible that someone who does not know all the background about the mantras, just by constantly, I mean very regularly, hearing and chanting them, something happens in their mind. And my dear everyone, I must say, I am on this line. When I came and I got my mantra, I was very young, as our young man announcerji Damodar Prasad said, yeah, I was young and I was foolish and I was angry. Not a good combination for spiritual life. Young, you know, I was just turning 16. I was angry, I would say. I did not want to participate in the modern society. I come from a very affluent background, you could say, and I saw what the rich and famous do. I was not impressed. I was angry and I was foolish. I did not know anything about the spiritual path, but somehow I got initiated, and over the years, as I chanted it, the mantras began to work on me, so that I became interested and started to study. But that was much later, when I was older. So in Gop Kumar's case, he received his mantra, and because he had this one faith, one good point that spoke in his favor, he had faith in his spiritual master, and he chanted it very regularly. And listen what happened to him. He found himself rising in two ways. First, his consciousness was rising. He became more aware of the spiritual reality. But because this took place over several lifetimes, he saw also himself, his soul, rising to higher and higher stations. He was, in one life, he was no longer on planet Earth. He was on a higher planet in the universe. And in another life, he found himself on one planet where everyone was just meditating like anything. And when he was amongst these saints who were deeply absorbed in another reality, he asked them, does God live here? Where is he? And first the saints did not notice him. They were so absorbed. But then one opened his eyes a little, said, huh? And he repeated his question, does God live here? And this person said, why do you want to see God with the eyes? What can you see with your eyes? close your eyes, then you can see better, and meditate and perceive him in your heart as Paramatma, the indwelling soul, super soul, who's giving guidance. Maybe some of you have contacted Paramatma, no? Yes, that's someone that nods the head, that voice which sometimes speaks to us, do this. Better you don't trust this person. He is a deceiver, a cheater. go here. Go on the Sunday down to the lakeside. There you might see a very interesting person who will help you on in the spiritual path. Like this, no? So he continued to chant his mantra, and in his meditation he traveled into an endless light. I have here no, not this. Here I have a quotation for you. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Na Sochati Na Kankshati. It means when one is situated in this endless light, in the Supreme Brahman, one becomes fully joyful. Is that good? Yes. Someone nods. One stops to lament about anything, one doesn't complain, and one does not desire to have anything. Now for some this is the fulfillment, to not lament about anything, to be joyful all the time, and to have no further worldly desire. For some this is fulfillment. Tike, hok ja, everything done, I'm here. But the Vedas say, move on, go further, there's something more. Who of you has read the Divine Comedy of Dante, Alighieri? Someone nods. You are a spiritual person. You do not think that. Yes? You have seen, read? Something, yes. Language is old, old style. There you find how the main figure is meeting a guide, Saint Bernard, and Bernard, you know, I remember the main person takes a rest somewhere, like yesterday when I arrived in Zurich, I came to the park and I was asked to sing and dance for 2 hours, and I thought, well, let me first take rest. So I just immediately slept in the park, and I heard in my dreams all kinds of music. Perhaps it was not a dream, it was a reality. So Dante also goes to take a rest, and then he wakes up in another world. There's a song like this, and he meets the guide, and the first journey which the guide takes him on is to the Purgatio. It's like a hellish place. But then they move through this darkness and they enter a realm of light. So Saint Bernard tells Dante, look at that light, but not for too long. It will blind you. Pray for divine grace so that the light will be removed and you can see his beautiful form. This is very, very interesting. Praying, I have something here. I hope I have it still. Here. I have an old book here. I want to read something to you from this book. Do you like Sanskrit? Okay. Hiran mayena patrena sadyasya pitam mukam tatvam pushan apavrinu sadyadamaya drishtaye. O my Lord, you are sustaining all that lives. Your real face is covered by your dazzling effulgence. Please remove that covering and show yourself to me as you are. And yes, for many on the spiritual path, and I was no exception when I started my journey, the highest goal is that this material world with its disturbing and distracting and so much variety, it stops, and you're just in that energy pulsating there. But here in this text, and even interestingly in Dante, you can find this idea that behind the dazzling light there is the beautiful face of God.
So where are we now? To see the real face of the Supreme Being, one has to go beyond the material world or the material universe. But one has to also cross what is behind this, the energy, the pulsating energy of the Brahman. As I said, some people are satisfied with this first step, but in the Vedas we hear the sentence, go further, go further. Go further because you want to come to Purnam, where all possibilities exist. And one symptom of this wonderful spiritual reality is raso vaisaha. It is full of taste, full of all the flavors of love. For instance, dasya, my Lord, I serve you. Or sakya, you are my best friend, my Lord. Or vatsalya, can I take care of you? O Madhurya Rasa, I love you in the greatest intimacy of my heart. So we as we continue to follow Gop Kumar on his journey, we see that finally he enters into a vibrant forest. Vibrant is so, also das pulsiert mit Leben. The many birds are singing there, but they sing songs, not coo-hoo, 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 finished in the repertoire. The peacocks are dancing, and then out of the greenery of the flower-bearing trees that seem to move and dance also to the sound of an all-pervading divine sound vibration, steps a bluish little boy whose every limb, arms, everything is moving, dancing, and full of the greatest splendor. Like that Brahman, you know, light, 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 but a light that is full of bliss, of ein seliges Licht, how you would say in German language. And this comes, he comes moving towards Gop Kumar, embraces him and says, oh my friend, where have you been? I was waiting for you. Then both of them fall in an ocean of ecstasy. My dear everyone, this is beyond ignorance, But it is also beyond knowledge, because here it seems God forgets that he is God in order to act in a loving relationship. It's not possible to accept, to have just the fatherly, that God is father and we are children. But the love has much more spectrums than the father and child aspect. So in order to have this love possible, God forgets that he is God and enters something else, a huge ocean of the highest delight. That is the end of Gopkumar's journey. If you like to follow it in detail, I mean, it's the story of the stories in my eyes. There is a work, Sanskrit word, but there's now a translation. It's called Brihad Bhagavatamrita. I have read it 10 times, and each time I discover new things in there. A world beyond logic, beyond reason, a world of ecstasy. Hare Krishna. So, okay, this is the example of someone who makes the journey, but let's return to something practical. As you start on your spiritual journey, please, you sometimes just need to sit down. Perhaps you need to go to Doldingen. That's where my friend and me went today. Forest here in Zurich. Doldingen? Doldingen?
Doldach.
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 Doldach. Also nice. Doldach. We found a bench and we just allowed the forest to speak to us. And then we spoke also a lot. you can just sit. Okay, become aware. I have a gift here. I have the human form of life, and if I want to connect with the Supreme, I will connect with the one who is Purnam, who has endless possibilities. Are you sure, any one of you, also those who have started the spiritual path, that you are living all your spiritual possibilities at the moment? I think no one would say, I have already reached all the possibilities. From time to time, you need to learn to go away from what you are doing in your mind and go into the realm of endless possibilities. And when you return to your life, you might put a few Weichen. Weichen in English is switches, so that you can come into this realm which the spiritual life has opened to you. And those of you who are on the spiritual path, don't allow yourself to stagnate and think, I'm on the path, I haven't finished, my work is finished, I'm better than the blah, blah, this or that group or so. That's not spiritual life, no? And do not become satisfied without a spiritual experience. Don't just stay in the head with some philosophy that distinguishes your path from another path, but come to an experience ultimately of rasa, of delightful divine love. So this is what you get with the human form of life. You get a package of unlimited possibilities. Why waste it and just decide for a more or less predictable life? The second is connect with your spiritual longing, your desire to move forward. And the third is, try to be open for spiritual guidance where it comes and follow that more than your mind. And then you will see, you will take a practice perhaps that elevates you further and move on. I want to end my things with this verse. This is a very good hymn for everyone who is in spiritual life. Asato ma sadgamaya Lord Krishna is there with the Tamasoma Jyotir Gamaya Mrityoma Muritam Gamaya. It is an interesting handwriting, not without challenges, but I think you can do it. So this is a universal prayer that comes to us from the Vedic scriptures, which is very good to chant at the end. From that which is unreal, asatoma, from that which is unreal, guide me to real life. Tamasoma jyotirgamaha, from darkness guide me to the real light. And then the last line, mrityoma mritam gamaya, from death guide me to the nectar of eternity. Isn't that a wonderful motto for spiritual life? If you have it in your heart and don't drop it but keep it, you will feel motivation to move on. You will also think, yes, let me go further. From that which is unreal, guide me to the real. From darkness, guide me to the light. And from death, guide me to the nectar of eternity. So I thought we should sing this and then go into the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. What do you think? Go Krishna? Yeah. Do we have a Madanga player? Oh, yes, not so loud, no? This is a little meditative. You know, these young boys, they can go louder than a jet plane without microphones, no problem for them. Asato. Old man, get your voice, okay? Asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityo ma mritam gamaya. Everybody, asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityo ma mritam gamaya. I should say the last line, you pronounce it mrityoma, and then you say again amritam gamaya. So let's try this. We will not go responsive, but in one go all of us will sing. So let's start now. Oh, asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityo ma amritagamaya. Asato ma, everybody please sit. It's nice if you clap. Asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityo ma amritagamaya. One more time. Asato ma sadgamaya tamaso ma jyotirgamaya mrityo ma amritagamaya. Asato ma sadgamaya Try to absorb your consciousness in each of the sacred syllables and let the mantra guide you, just like Gokuma was guided through these different states and levels and experiences. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You're doing wonderful as far as the sound is concerned. Are you sure that your mind is connected with each syllable? Some of you, I think, are still, you know, on the surface, especially some of you who are older of the spiritual path. You have to really make an effort to bind the mantra to bind the mind to each of the mantra syllables. Okay, we start. Everyone, please. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Rama Rama
Request all of you at the very end to take a few deep inhalations. And sit a little bit with this question. Are you sure that all the possibilities that you have in this precious little visit on planet Earth, all the possibilities, and he means the spiritual possibilities, are already erschöpft, are already exhausted, already used. And perhaps in the last, we will sing again. Please put this, perhaps a request, a prayer. I think it will be heard that you become more aware what your next step could mean. So we will sing now. Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
created together. Welcome back. You're in Zurich, by the way. Yes, it was my desire in this presentation to first of all make you aware of the three wonderful gifts and as perhaps a new perspective for your spiritual life, the field of unlimited possibility, as we saw in the gradual ascension or rising of Gop Kumar, both in consciousness and then on his spiritual journey, and as perhaps a tool to take with you, something in your toolkit, because we Westerners want to do something, get yourself more familiar with the science of mantra. Because the sacred mantra, the sacred words are like really a key to open yourself up to new dimensions. If you don't make the mistake which many people on the spiritual path do, and that is that they get a method and they think, God, and they stagnate there. Gop Kumar did not stagnate. He moved on and on and on. So wish you all the best in this process, and thank you all very much. I see I have gone over time, and this is one of the capital crimes it gets capital punishment in Switzerland. So I better stop here. I think our Damodar Prasad will give us an orientation. What's the next part? We've cooked for everyone, no? Yes, please.
Shri Satchinandana Swami Maharaj ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Thank you.
That was just a teaser. Maharaj will be singing also at 8 p.m. So please, if you can join for that. Before that, now we invite you to all take prasadam. For those who are new, prasadam is sanctified food. So it's spiritual food, and we'll be serving that outside in the garden. Then for those who are new again, but also those who come regularly at 6:15, somebody will be guiding you through a japa meditation. You can learn how to chant the mantra and prayer beads, something you can do alone everywhere you are. 7 o'clock we have arati, and 8 o'clock, as mentioned, Maharaj will be singing more kirtan. Also tomorrow morning, Maharaj will be giving the morning class, the Srimad Bhagavatam lecture, that's starting at 7:30. I'm conscious many of you might be working, We have a live stream, so you can follow online, either on Krishna Temple Zurich on YouTube or also on Mayapur TV. So please join, either personally, live or online. And thank you all very much for joining. I know many of you came for the retreat and you're probably the last day here in Zurich. It's always so nice to see all of you coming from everywhere of the world. India, US, Australia, I also met somebody today. So please come again, latest next year. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.